The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
The worst teammate ever?
I think he might be.
He's in a team photo of worst teammates?
Yeah, maybe people have other ideas, but we got to dissect just how bad of a teammate this is.
Nate Davis came in this morning. His back tightened up on him. He saw Andre the Trainer before the game.
He saw Andre the Giant, too.
Andre the Giant picked him up. First Andre the Trainer saw him, and then Andre the Giant picked up Nate Davis and escorted him out of the building.
He hails from Grenoble in the French Alps. He weighs 520 pounds.
Andre the Trainer.
A living and healthy Andre the Giant would be so great for the Bears offensive line right now.
Two positions?
No, I'm just going to make him the left tackle.
Now, Australian Octomania. It's over!
I'm just gonna make him.
No, no, no! You gotta hand Andre the ball on a fourth and goal.
Have him fall forward. It's empty, 450 pounds. This falls forward.
He can't handle a handoff though. If they execute it right, maybe.
Yeah, Caleb wouldn't put him over.
Well, you like Hogan?
Hulk and I kind of looked at each other and I said, "What are you thinking?" He goes, "Not today, brother."
He'd walk in at 7:30, read this TV, and say, "Doesn't work for me, brother."
Seriously, Andre doesn't have the foot speed for tackling, you know.
It is a kind of an interesting thing of like, instead of grabbing the ball, he just grabs Caleb and runs Caleb into the, because, you know, giant
yes.
Man.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
Like he picked up the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yeah.
You know?
Just like accidentally, like not on purpose, just like he's clamping down on the ball and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, young fellow."
No more screens, and I mean it. Anybody want a peanut?
Give Andre the Giant a barrel of beer to get drunk, sometimes two.
Hello, pretty lady. Anybody want a peanut?
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
If you have not gotten enough of this show, and quite honestly, how could you say that you have? Friday, you should join us at the world-famous Brat Stop in Kenosha for the return of the Brat Bowl. Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi will broadcast live from 10 to 2, followed by this show from 2 to 6 that afternoon. We'll be joined by special guests and hosts from The Fan in Milwaukee as the shows gear up for Chicago versus Green Bay. Also, the Brat Stop will be open at 8 a.m. for breakfast. So that's Friday, 10 till 6. We're broadcasting all day long, and it's brought to you by Ziegler Subaru in Kenosha. For a great experience, visit ZieglerSubaru.com and Potawatomi Sportsbook.
During that conversation yesterday about Andre the Giant and the Bears with Chris Tannehill, who cut that open, and Shane Reardon, a texter said, "You know, Andre had a tryout with the Washington football team, and it got me to look it up. And the tryout didn't actually happen. Andre chose not to risk his wrestling career, but there was a press conference. There's a photo out there with him and Joe Theismann together that I know does exist. And apparently, George the Animal Steele told Dan Steinberg of the Washington Post on a podcast that the Washington football team wanted to sign Andre the Giant to play as a linebacker on field goals and extra points, to stand up and kind of wave his arms like a giant. And they thought that would be great publicity for them and for us together. But it didn't get that far.
I love that, though. Hey, you got to think out of the box sometimes.
7'4". Let's go ahead and put him on the field.
He's not getting any leverage calls in those situations.
He doesn't need leverage.
That's right.
Where we're going, we don't need leverage.
He's just going to stand straight up. Now tell me.
Yeah.
So the news of the day, and we are glad that you are here for it.
And not caught in a hit and run.
That's right.
Thank you.
Shane Waldron is out. We have been discussing it all afternoon long with a whole bunch of different guests that have been on the show. And we've been discussing it with each other. This idea of the Bears making this change is a little bit surprising because there is no precedent for it, which honestly gives me some good feelings about other things that there's not precedent for.
Yeah, it's insane. They've never fired a head coach in the middle of a season, and they've never fired an offensive coordinator in the middle of a season. As bad as the offenses have been, you know, there have been a couple times that people left. Gary Croton left late in the year to go, I think, was it to Missouri he was going to, wherever he was going. So, like, and I think Terry Shea left midseason for something, but there's never been a flat-out firing ever for an offensive coordinator in the middle of the year until now.
Well, he earned it. Like that's the part of this that I think is really important. He earned this firing. The way that this, the opportunities that were given to him by the Bears to get right, the players going to Eberflus and be like, what is this? And him being open to the feedback, and I give him credit for that because that does take a level of maturity that not a lot of people would have. But for them to play like they did against Washington and then follow that up with the way that they played against Arizona, and for there to not be some sort of substantial change going up against one of the worst defenses in the NFL, simultaneously watching their offense do what your offense should be doing and doing it effectively enough for them to beat you at home.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't overcome that. And you start talking about credibility for the head coach. If Matt Eberflus even wants an opportunity to hang on to whatever shred of credibility he has left, it was going to have to happen this way.
I think that's true. I think that's true, but I don't know that there's really much credibility left. It feels it's a week late on the Waldron front, but I personally think like the Eberflus credibility and authority is also already gone. I think it's already toast. 8 coaches that have either been fired or left in the last 14 months from his staff. A team that has questioned him openly, him only using accountability when it seems to be a desperate plea to try and give the people what they want way after it should have come up, him using the buzzwords and such and making all these situations worse. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine any scenario where Matt Eberflus saves his job. We were here a year ago, which is what's crazy. Literally 53 weeks ago, we were here.
Well, he went 4-2.
He went 4-2 with a defense that was clearly turning the corner and had shown some incredible play and unity under his leadership.
It's a weird place for polls to be where, let's say, you don't make the playoffs, but over the next 8 weeks, you see growth from the quarterback. If you're polls and you go, well, wait a minute. Yes, this guy was on staff, but he wasn't hired for the job that we gave to a guy that we had to fire 10 weeks into the season. How do you evaluate that when you're looking at your coach? Now, obviously, you're looking at the entire thing. And if it's me, he's got to go. Matt Eberflus has to go so far above and beyond to save his job at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in a position to fire him, he would have to do, like, they would have to go on an epic run. And if the quarterback does get better, I'm still like looking side eye at him being like, wait, we interviewed him, right?
Oh, dude, 100%.
And you thought that the other guy was better
yeah.
than this? who knows how it turns out? But all of those things have to be in question. And even if you just want to look from the scoreboard part of it, looking at the record of it, I don't know how you can have so much faith in a guy who's had to churn his coaching staff the way that he has without actual results. Like, there are no results that have come on the backside of this.
No. Have there been any other offensive coordinators fired this year in the NFL other than the two guys Matt Eberflus has hired?
That's amazing.
Luke Getsy fired for, you know, in Oakland for a second time.
Shocking.
And now Shane Waldron. I don't think there's been any other.
The Jets OC, right?
No, it's just those two.
That's right.
Because Jets OC.
They took play calling away. The Jets OC got demoted, but not fired.
Firing's just those two, the two last offensive coordinators that Matt Eberflus has hired.
Come on, man. Come on.
That's pretty bad.
You don't give a defensive head coach who has had this much chaos a third offensive coordinator.
I agree with you, but he's got one.
In midseason here, just because they don't have the cojones to get rid of a midseason.
Caleb's going to have two different head coaches and three different offensive coordinators within his first two seasons.
Well,
Bears!
I mean, we do need to continue to drill down on Caleb as quarterback and as teammate. That's something that we can't lose sight of just because the offensive coordinator
I think the rest of the year is going to be an opportunity for Caleb to get scrutiny without the offensive coordinator. Now, we're always going to be able to look at what I think was a massive failure, which was the install and the thought process. But a lot of that is going to point to Ryan Poles for me. I referenced it before the break, Lawrence. This idea that Ryan Poles likes to throw quarterbacks into the deep end of the pool. That Poles' theory on quarterbacks being handed the entire offense and the entire keys to everything from the get-go. He did it to Justin Fields last year. After an offseason where they expected Justin to learn and, you know, take the next step, and everybody was all over Getsy for asking Justin to do too much. And I was a guy at that point last year saying, Poles has to be in on this. You don't make a decision like this without Poles believing this is the right thing to do. And we ended up kind of rationalizing it or mitigating it by saying, well, if Justin can't do it, then it works like a soft tank. And you figure out, you get clarity on Justin, and then you move on, and then you get Caleb, right? But here we are now, and Caleb being thrown into the deep end, being given the keys to the entire offense. And here you go. We're not gonna, you know, give it to you like the Patriots are giving it to Drake May and simplify this into college things.
Or even do what Washington's doing with Jaden Daniels, where here's the system that you're comfortable with. We're going to run that, and we're going to add to that.
Correct, and we're going to lean on the running game like crazy for you, the young quarterback. And this is what I thought they would do, that a lot of people around the league thought that they would do with Caleb. Like, hey, let's run the ball. So you're like you're Ben Roethlisberger in his early Steelers days, or like you're Tom Brady in those early Pats days, or Russell Wilson in his early Seattle days. And that's not what they've done. So the corollary is Poles. Because both the quarterbacks were willing to do it. Like you said, Lawrence, Justin was willing to do it because he was Justin.
He's like, I'll do it.
I'll give it a shot. Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's go for it. Absolutely. And Caleb is like, oh, hell yeah, I can do that.
I can totally do that. I got this.
I got this. Players lead. So the commonality here is Ryan Poles with an imperfect quarterback teaching theory. Now, it's the hardest thing to do in sports, as we know, to find and install and develop one. But they got lucky with Mahomes. But even Mahomes had to watch a year. He watched a year before they asked him to do it.
And had way better teachers.
So Poles is the commonality with throwing Caleb and Justin before that into the deep end. And I think there's something there because that's the guy in charge.
Is that a problem when your barometer for how to operate with a quarterback is like one of the greatest of all time? Like, is that going to skew things a little bit the way you handle your business?
Who had the greatest teacher, one of the greatest teachers of all time, to Lawrence's point, and had a year to sit and watch.
And a quarterback in the room.
A willing quarterback to help him through the process.
Right.
And the thing that I find fascinating, I don't think it's talked about enough when it comes to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Here's a guy that's coming from an air pure, like pure air raid system at Texas Tech. And you have Andy Reid, who is Mr. West Coast, right? He sees this guy and he's like, I might be able to marry those two concepts together.
And he takes a year and does it.
And doing it, then you get this incredible, maybe the greatest quarterback that we've ever seen.
In a beautiful system that is a hybrid.
That absolutely fits what it is that he's doing. Like the environment of this matters quite a bit when it comes to it. And it's why I go back to the whole idea of trying to figure out a formula for growing a quarterback is really difficult.
Yep, and this polls thing that I'm talking about, you brought it up last week or a week and a half ago when we let off the 5 o'clock hour with your concerns for quarterback development and how Anthony Richardson ought to still be taking snaps in college, let alone be handed an entire pro-style offense by Shane Steichen.
I think Anthony Richardson is going to find himself being the starting quarterback again soon. Because
two bad games for Joe Flacco.
Because Joe Flacco is like Andy Dalton. A shot of adrenaline immediately because he's competent, but he's still flawed. In Flacco's, well, I guess both their cases, they're old. So there's going to be stuff that they just can't do anymore. And now I think that little burst of energy is worn off. Mm-hmm. And now you go back to the development. But they got all sorts of problems down there in Indy that I think are a little similar to what's going on here. So you'll love this text during the segment. This person texted me and said, just let me know when I can come get all my apologies and explain how the Bears should move forward, kind sir. It's from Sean King. So if we can find a place for Sean King, he's got ideas. He would like to talk to us about the quarterback situation and him having Jaden Daniels ranked ahead of Caleb Williams and people being like, how is that possible? How could anyone do that? And it was Sean. We did ask about Caleb. We asked Kurt Warner earlier today about Caleb and him managing this change with Shane Waldron being out as the Bears OC. This is the advice that Kurt Warner said he would give Caleb Williams if he were to pick up the phone and call him.
The biggest advice you have for anybody in the situation that he's in is, you got to take care of you and the things that you're doing or the things that you can do better. The thing that I always try to tell any quarterback, and it's always harder for a young quarterback, but the things I always try to tell them, you know, the first part of the process is you need to take ownership of the offense. You need to take ownership of what you're going to do moving forward. And what by that I mean, really making sure that you understand what the offense is trying to do. And you make it make sense in your mind and you take ownership for things that you like and things that you don't like, things that you really understand and things that you don't understand, is that it's very easy for any quarterback, you know, in a system where a coach calls or puts in a play in the playbook and we just go, okay, I'll run it. Like coach put it in, I'll figure out how to run it. And, you know, when that happens, sometimes we're going in and running plays that it's like, gosh, I don't know what I'm doing in this play. I don't feel comfortable with this play, but instead of, you know, rocking the waters at all, we're going to just kind of run whatever we're given. And I've always felt it was very important for quarterbacks to go, you know what? I don't like that. I like this. And then on top of that is to have the information to be able to know what you don't like about something, right? That's the hardest thing for anybody, is to go in and know that they don't like a play, but to not really be able to know how to improve that play. So then you're telling a coach, hey, I don't like your play. And if you can't tell them why, then they're just going to kind of throw their hands up and go, well, I like this play. I've run it a million times and it's been successful. So if you can't give me information on why or information on how I can make it better for you, then we're just going to stick with what I've always done because it's been successful.
It's Kurt Warner. Talking about the change of the offensive coordinator. Real quick, Lawrence, just to clarify, the only two times the Bears have made an offensive coordinator change in season, Gary Croton in 2000 when he went to BYU, and when Matt Nagy handed play calling to Bill Lazor.
And then took it back.
That's it. They've never fired an OC midseason until today.
when Kurt says in there, concentrate on the things that you're doing and trying to improve. Any Bears fan can do this if you've got the, you know, the NFL Plus or you've got the game recorded. Just put a stopwatch on Caleb in the pocket. Just see how many times it's going past 3 seconds of him in the pocket. Because that's when you kind of want the ball gone. And these are things where when Kurt's saying, what are you doing right? Are you holding on to the ball too long? Are you doing stuff that you could get away with against Washington State? Because you're the best athlete on the field.
When he tries to scramble sometimes, it does look like some hero play instincts that do not work at this level.
That won't work for him.
Yes.
At this level. And this is like when you were in the scouting process of it on talking about Caleb, and it's like, yeah, he's a more scrambler than runner and an effective scrambler, because he is always kind of like, I'm going to keep my eyes downfield and I'm going to look to make plays. But you can see the difference. You can go see like that tackle that doesn't get made when he's playing against, you know, Oregon State. That's a tackle for loss in the NFL because the guys are so much better and they're so much faster. I want to continue to give him time to calibrate. It takes a while. So I want to keep giving him time to figure it out. But it does scare me that midway through the season, he still thinks some of that stuff is going to work. The other part of the problem is the marrying of what the offensive coordinator is doing and what the quarterback thinks he sees or is expecting to see.
Well, here we go, an opportunity for a new OC.
Well, I think that some of the reason that Caleb's holding on to the ball really for a long time is because of the route concept. Like, some of it is him getting to the top of the drop and being like, wait a minute.
Where am I supposed to go?
No one's open. Mm-hmm. And what am I supposed to do? I guess I'll wait. I'll climb the pocket a little bit, and too late. Like, once that happens, it's too late. And maybe we're seeing the wrong, like you were saying earlier, Speaks, we're probably seeing the wrong guys doing the wrong things.
Yes.
Inside of the Bears offense. And maybe Thomas Brown can clean that up.
Uh-huh. Maybe Thomas Brown is, but he's the passing game coordinator. So you wonder, has he been on board with this stuff?
Right. That's working in the concepts that your offensive coordinator, like that's him not doing a mutiny. You know what I mean? Like it could be just like, okay, this is what the OC wants. I've given him my feedback. Now I'm going to implement what the OC wants us to do.
Can't wait until the Bears beat Sports City Hall gets a chance to talk to Thomas Brown on Thursday. I'll be very interested to find out whether wide receiver roles are changing.
Yeah, because that could be an issue here too.
I think it has been.
And trying to figure out, like, if you believe that the guys on the Bears offense are weapons, and we've seen each one of these guys individually be weaponized. We've seen it in Keenan Allen's career, and we saw it a few games ago with Keenan Allen. We've seen it in DJ Moore's career as a Bear, and we saw it a few games ago. We've seen Cole Kmet's career as a Bear and him kind of steadily improve from year to year to being one of the better tight ends in the league. How can you and DeAndre Swift, like, what's the best way to use him? Rome is still building his NFL resume, but you do see some stuff that you like.
Mm-hmm.
Can you figure out the best way to deploy these guys and make it easier for Caleb to do his thing? And can you coach out what might be some bad habits? I hope that they're bad habits, Speaks, and not a fatal flaw with Caleb. My concern is that when he talks about his career, he needs to stop talking about USC. That's over with.
Yeah, and that adversity, I mean, yeah, we've got time to look into Caleb. Are we gonna? There's other Bears news today.
Yeah,
because an old option seems to have resurfaced as a new option, and it speaks to the power structure. It speaks to the mad scramble and the public's lack of an appetite for public money going to help them as well.
And a relationship that has just been born of opportunity. We will talk about where the Bears think they're going to move next on The Score.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at The Score. And not just kidding, but,
Afternoons on The Score.
That is the focus right now. And I think when you see last weekend, if you know, we're at the game on that beautiful day in Chicago, you know, with the lake, the nice breeze, it just shows again what we've been talking about. That museum campus is fantastic. And especially with the backdrop of Chicago and the architecture of that city. So that remains our focus at this point in time.
They desperately want to be in Chicago. That is very clear, even though they are the biggest landowner in Arlington Heights.
They desperately want public money, Lawrence. That's what they want. And I think they realize they're probably not going to get much state money in Arlington Heights. And I think they've been shot down on the idea of state money on the lakefront in the spot that now exists, even though the mayor has their back. So now they're going to an old spot, which is now a new spot, because they think maybe they stand a chance to get public money here.
Yes, because it makes more sense. The Michael Reese location right there, what, 23rd in Indiana, around there.
Stretching all the way down, though, to 31st.
That's an area that actually needs to be revitalized. Instead of, like, the thing that really bothered me is someone who spends a lot of time on the lakefront from, you know, as far north as is DePaul to as far south as 83rd Street. Them talking about the lakefront where Soldier Field sits and being like, well, it's not really a lot going on there, fellas. Needs to be revitalized. No, it doesn't. It is very vibrant there. It is a great, the public use of that area, whether we're talking about running trails, bike trails, people on boats, the whole nine yards, 31st Street Beach is amazing.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I ride the bike down there a lot from the South Loop, and that it's absolutely gorgeous. And there's a lot of blocks there. East of Bronzeville, I guess it is the Bronzeville lakefront, where it has seemed ripe for something like this. But I always heard that it wasn't wide enough.
Narrow. Yeah, like a lot of people felt like it was too narrow right there. Like if you're trying to visualize it, like think about kind of the last thing you see as you're coming into the city on 55 to Lakeshore Drive. Like before you kind of like loop around. It's that area that's just south of 55 that they're talking about, where Michael Reese Hospital used to be.
Yeah.
I thought that Michael Reese Hospital, or to me, it was 83rd Street. I thought that's where all of the the tech people have decided that they're going to plant their flag down there on the lakefront would have been really good options for the Bears. That seems to be gone now. Like the
83rd Street.
Yeah, I don't think you can do anything. But
the news, if anybody doesn't know it, is that they've pivoted now away from just south of Soldier Field. And now they're talking with the alderman, the local alderman there, who I assume is the relationship of convenience that you're discussing.
I was talking about the relationship of convenience is
the governor,
is the mayor and the Bears.
Oh, the mayor. Yeah. Well, yeah. The mayor will take anything you can get. But the alderman of
Lamont Robinson
is extremely vocal about this possibility, even though there have been decades of planning and dreams and meetings and hopes for what that area could be for Bronzeville residents themselves. So they would get a lot trampled by this big monolith of a project.
I think that it's clearly a better place to do this because the lakefront doesn't need anything. And because that thing that Kevin Warren keeps fantasizing about, like the views of downtown Chicago, you're right there.
Oh, yeah,
you're still going to have that if you're to build on the Michael Reese site. I'd be more willing for public dollars in that scenario versus it going to the lakefront. But even with me moving an inch towards there being a little bit more public money given to the Bears, the amount of money that I think that they're going to need to do this the right way, it's going to have to be private, mostly private equity for me to kind of be like, I'm down with this.
And this does bump up, this latest proposal does bump up their private investment while still asking for some public money. This seems much more likely as a possibility than the South Lot of Soldier Field thing. A couple things here. One is that there are Metra tracks that go right through the Michael Reese site, and they originally had a plan where they showed, no, we'd build a stadium right on top of the Metra tracks. And people the NFL and others were like, we don't think that's a good idea. You know, because anybody could put, I don't know, a bomb on a train, and then when the train is underneath the stadium, you could blow up everybody and everything. That's part of the Christ, dude.
Well, I think maybe
I've seen movies, Shane, so have you.
I think maybe the bigger issue here is, you know, people need to get to work and stuff. And so, like, the construction around that might be problematic. That's the line that I take. But I now see that that's clearly what you've been thinking about me showing up to this show. I'll know that the next time I take the Metra.
No, I don't think you're doing anything. I just think there's, like, you know, a lot of safety concerns.
Yeah.
Have you not seen any movies, Lawrence?
I'm looking at you askance right
Pop
now.
Pop quiz, hot shots. Got 50,000 Bears fans with nowhere to park.
That's what I'm saying. And then my other problem is that there's a building called the Singer Pavilion at 31st Street that would have to be demolished for this because they're going to put the stadium, if they do this, down on that side. That was designed by the legendary architect Walter Gropius. Shane, you've been a big Walter Gropius fan.
Yeah, kind of touchy-feely. You know, he's a little too grabby, my guy Walter.
No, Walter Gropius, he was a legendary Bauhaus-era architect.
Bauhaus.
And designer from Germany from between 1919 and 1933. My dad, who owned a furniture store, used to idolize the design aesthetic of the Bauhaus.
Always comes back to Germany for you for some reason.
Yeah, screw him, dude. It's a pavilion. We got tons of them.
Dude, but Gropius, yeah, you're
like
right.
Like the Pritzker one.
The freaking Nazis took down the Bauhaus.
The Nazis.
They took down the Bauhaus.
Are those Nazi tchotchkes?
Thank you very much.
It's my favorite family up in the Northwest side, the Nazis.
He was a pretty good linebacker for the Packers, I thought. Ray Natsuki. But I did too much there. That's what I always do.
Just one step too far.
But it's your brand. It's all good. People get it.
The architecture god that is Walter Gropius, like his colleague Mies van der Rohe.
Dude, nobody's heard of any of those people.
I disagree.
It doesn't matter. It's a stupid pavilion.
Mies van der Rohe.
Which last time was used for anything that anyone went to?
I have no idea, but it is in the most endangered historic places in Illinois list. Okay? It's a legendary spot, and it's one of the many things that would get destroyed by this plan.
And they've done nothing to fix it or restore it since, right?
I honestly don't know.
Okay, well,
I need to look into that. But you should appreciate Bauhaus and Bela Lugosi is still dead, okay? You should appreciate the whole damn thing, sir. All right, I've spoken up.
So like I was saying,
yeah,
about this, where
thank you.
The choices that you could make, like it makes a lot of sense from a revitalization standpoint.
Uh-huh.
There's actually some meat on that bone that isn't on the bone when you're talking about the lakefront. A texter is right. There needs to be a really deep dive on to what that land is sitting on from an environmental standpoint.
You're big on this. You talked about this with the 78 as well, this big parcel of land. What do you think is underneath the ground in these kinds of places?
I think there's a lot that's underneath the ground in a lot of these places. So I would want the Bears to do right by themselves and the community to make sure that they take a look down there.
Can you be a little more explicit here? Are we talking about pollution? Are we talking about Native American burial grounds?
I mean, there could be all of those things.
Because I've seen Poltergeist, as we take it back to the movies. That could be dangerous.
Yeah, or Pet Cemetery.
I don't want to be buried there.
Well, you're not a pet.
Well, I know, but that's... I guess you haven't seen the movie. They do eventually bury people there. Spoiler alert on Pet Cemetery.
I hadn't even finished it yet. Thanks a lot, Speeds.
He tries to bring his kid back.
Jeez.
And he buries him there.
This guy here. Spoiler alert.
Sometimes dead is better.
You got to give us at least 42, 43 years.
Is that how that works?
So that we can enjoy the movie and
I'm
get
still
it
learning.
Right.
It's a new partnership. I'm learning like how long it takes you to watch
Have never seen Predator, right?
That's true. That's true. You've always been the guy most annoyed by that.
I am offended that you've never seen Predator.
Is that about Speak's architecture guy, Gropius?
It is, actually. Yes, because he's a little too Gropius.
Speaks was being a real Walter Gropius with me yesterday at Stadium Swim when I had my new Circa hoodie on.
He was giving you the massage
feeling
and everything.
My material, you know what I mean? Walter Gropius over there.
He took Gropius notes.
I did.
That's what those are today on this rundown.
I have Gropius notes right here, as a matter of fact. Tanny, your Circa sweatshirt was beautiful. Very, very soft. Very nice. I even enjoyed when you spilled something on it, because then, you know.
Wouldn't you guys love to have, like, a beer with the mayor of Arlington Heights? Like, not press conference stuff, but just a beer with him and be like, dude, what's going on? Like, because this is ridiculous, right? Like, and I'm sure you'd be like, yeah. I mean, they're going to end up here. This is, might as well just get started. Hey, shovels in the ground by 2025, boys.
See,
shovels in the ground by 2025.
12 whole months in 2025, okay?
There are.
Just like Monday is a long day.
Yeah.
2025 is a long year.
And it's a short year, right? Because this is the leap year.
Oh, so it's only 365?
See? It's a short year. They can't even get that right.
Stupid Bears.
Dumb old Bears with their bearsing and the Bears.
Oh, God. Just freaking miserable.
Speaking of which, when we come back, Matt Madoff over here is going to explain what's going to go on with those Packers bets.
Oh, boy.
That is next on The Score. I told you he wasn't done twisting the knife.
Oh, bite me, Aaron. Bite me. Go lose another four games this year. Go try to evade a pass rush and get demolished. See how many other people you can get fired. Get it. You don't get. Actually, yeah, he does get to do that, doesn't he? Like
he owns them.
Yeah, he
bleeping owns them.
I want to say he doesn't get to gloat about the Bears as a Packer guy anymore after he hissy fitted his way out of there to go somewhere else. But
and be bad.
I suppose in perpetuity he does get to do that.
Yeah. Hey, just before you go into your thing, can I just, because I want to make sure that I answer the question for the people, and I shared this with Speaks during the break.
The question, yes.
In 2021, this is from the Hyde Park Herald.
Okay.
Headline reads, city to spend $31 million on radioactive waste remediation within Michael Reese's site. This is what I'm saying.
So that's what's there.
You got to check.
The
3-acre plot of land inside the northern part of the former Michael Reese Hospital site
is
covered
part.
In grass, pavement, and buried radioactive waste.
Okay, hear me out on this.
I'm not done. The site has been contaminated with uranium, radium, and carnotite
oh boy.
For over a century,
but is finally undergoing a remediation with the redevelopment being imminent. That redevelopment has not happened,
not
by
happened.
The way.
Yeah.
I guess that as you, if you don't know some of the history, the University of Chicago was a big part of
the
first
bomb.
Atomic bomb.
Sure was.
There's a statue dedicated to it that's right there on campus. It was a big part of the whole thing.
Mm.
They used to, on those train tracks, if we were talking, or at least on that train line.
Yeah, used to transport the radioactive stuff and some would fall out the side.
So,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That's a little sloppy, in my opinion. Here's my idea, though. If, I mean.
Lysol?
No. The radioactive material could create some super bears.
You thinking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Like some superhero powers for certain Bears players just on game days as they play above the radioactive waste. No? Come on. You're the superhero guy. You got to work with me here.
I mean, it can go. You can go superhero. You could also go super villain. This would seem
I'm
like
not the afraid type, of that.
Type of thing that ends up with super villain.
That's okay. If as long as they win, I'm okay if the Bears are super villain.
No, not the Bears. Like Aaron Rodgers walks over there and he's like, my Achilles is fine now. Rah!
You've got some good vocal skills to get that vocal.
The fry?
Yeah, the fry, yeah. But it doesn't seem like you're hurting the vocal cords.
IFT.
It's impressive. Look, I didn't make the Packers bet, the Bears to sweep the Packers, because I found out while on site at the beautiful Circa Resort and Casino that you could not bet it directly. You could not bet both games at once. You have to bet just the Packers game this week, bet the Bears on the money line, and then you have to hold on to it and roll it over for the next time they play the Packers. That's the only way to do it. I talked to somebody very close to Derek Stevens to
did
try
you?
To get this done. I did.
This is how Bobby Bonilla ends up getting paid $1.2 million every July 1st.
So the $300 that you, the Score listeners, and the mob sent to me via Venmo last week is in my account, in my Venmo account. You can trust me. I'm holding it there for you, and I'm not gaining interest. You don't gain interest in Venmo accounts.
And guess what?
Yeah, what?
Always trust people who say you can trust me.
Folks, you can trust me.
It was Agatha after all.
Wait a minute. Speak sold me that bridge the other day, and I haven't seen it yet. He says,
was it in Brooklyn?
Yes.
Was it at the 78?
To be fair, the $24 was a good price, okay? It was a very good price. But here's the thing. I'm going to place that bet this week. I think I'm going to place that bet because, you know, I'm still feeling just as strong that the Bears are going to sweep the Packers.
That's right.
As strong as ever. Feeling that way.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think you should give the money back telethon style.
Yeah, that's what you think. You think I should do a reverse telethon and every segment tomorrow as we turn the page to the Packers game, I should announce a different person and just send them their money back. You win. Congratulations. You get your money back because I can't place this bet.
He's running away with your money, y'all. Stop giving him money.
Venmo at Matthew-Spiegel if you want to get in on the bet of the Bears to sweep the Packers.
What is he, Wayne Allen Root now? I've got a lock of the week. I'm Wayne Allen Root.
There it is.
I'd love to go undefeated.
Call my 900 number. And then
on a recorded line.
And then you give half the people. Like, they win, and then the other half, and then those half people that won are like, you're a genius, and they come back the next week. It's a whole thing.
All right. Well, we'll discuss tomorrow. Tomorrow we turn the page and look forward to the Packers game. This should be a nice clean matchup.
I don't know if we should turn the page this shit, but we'll do it.
Wednesdays at 3 o'clock, we do it.
Big thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Kurt Warner was great. Lance Briggs was great. Softy Mahler was great. Jason Leisure was great. Go back and use the rewind function on the Odyssey app. It's awesome. For Tanny and Shane, and my partner Speaks, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying we appreciate the love and support that you show this show. We will repay that in kind tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. It's Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.
I mean, that is peak entertainment aura.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.